Resilience is the ability to bounce back from difficult life events, and we've all had our fair share this year, some major detours, but we're ready to get back on track. But how can you start a journey to the future if you're not even sure you've found the starting point? Join us for a special More Than a Chair podcast series on the roadmap to resilience, helping employees return to the workplace safely and confidently. Welcome to the More Than a Chair podcast by Business Furniture and Corio. I'm your host, Amanda Clark, and this is our special series on the road to resilience, mapping a plan to get us back to work. Now, today we're tackling the topic of meeting people where they are. How can we promote a safe and compelling workplace while also meeting the needs of employees and cultivating a culture that's meaningful? Now, joining us today, we have Arik Orbeck. Now, Arik is currently a people partner at Google, where he's been a Googler, a Google employee for over 2 years. He is a trusted advisor and guides the people strategy for a subset of Google's global business organization. Also with us, we have Rita Schaefer, who is an experienced change management consultant at Corio, a partner with Business Furniture. Now, Rita uses her background in interior design to help employees transition into new working environments. So I feel like we've got the best of the best here. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Amanda.
Yes. And Rita, I know we've been very excited to dive into all this with Arik. Arik, I want to just get going right off the top. Tell me, what is the current status at Google? What are the conversations happening today? It's been constantly changing during this crazy time of COVID. Give us a quick synopsis of where we are today.
Happy to. So I think it's first worth noting that at Google, we've always looked at data and insights about our workplace to make improvements and help Googlers do their best possible work. And so we hope to identify, modify, and create more helpful processes, guidance, resources to help Googlers have what they need to prioritize, feel productive, and support their mental and physical well-being. So we looked at elements such as work from home experience, psychological safety, virtual collaboration. We're constantly learning about our workforce and using these insights to inform our behaviors and actions to ultimately strengthen our culture.
Mm-hmm. A lot of words, Rita, that I know you're using all the time now when it comes to just that mental health, the physical safety. What are some of the things you think we could learn from talking to someone like Arik and watching from like this global approach to this? And how are you using some of those when working with Corio right now and talking about change management and helping people get back to work in a safe way?
Absolutely. I was so excited to talk to Arik, especially because so much of what change management is evolved around what people do and their empathy and having to really think through what changes are they going through. I know from my ProSci training too, I mean, it's something we have to be considerate of people can take so much change. The good thing about change is we can kind of stretch along with it. But if we're going through multitudes of layers of change, it can be too much sometimes. And I think especially what we felt at the beginning, those first 3 months, is where we really felt those really heartaches. The exciting thing is we are starting to get to a little bit more of a consistent working pattern. We know that they're still waiting for what's next, but at the same time, we've been a little bit more consistent probably the last 2 months, maybe going into this third month. We've been in this for 6 months now, which I was counting. I was is crazy. But that's why it's so exciting, because so much of what we do is about evolving the workplace strategy, but we constantly have to work with HR representatives. So that's why I think Arik's insight into such a great organization like Google is so important to hear from on what they're doing.
Yeah, I love that. Arik, what are some of the conversations happening right now amongst your teams, the HR type of teams? You're working remote for a while now.
Yeah, we have been since early March. And so I would say that there are a few different opportunities that we're seeing that have, that teams are having to help employees transition. I would say the first is staying well. So we're seeing a wide spectrum of how employees are navigating this transition. Some are balancing expanded childcare responsibilities, while others who live alone may be experiencing feelings of isolation. And there's just a lot going on in the world right now, which means much of our workforce is constantly distracted, overwhelmed, and overall just emotionally taxed. Google and its leaders stress that it's okay not to be okay, especially right now. And so we're putting an ongoing heavy emphasis on taking care of ourselves and one another. We're fortunate to have lots of mental health resources at our disposal, such as the employee assistance program. We're also talking a lot about how we communicate. So at Google, we often speak about fostering inclusion in the workplace. And remote meetings keep us connected, but video conversations can make it tougher for some participants to speak up. And so we want everyone to feel comfortable, empowered, and heard. And so that is something that we put a lot of energy and attention towards. And maybe the final thing I would mention, Amanda, is productivity. Our work from home setup looks entirely different than it did in our office space. And it's, again, different for every employee. So depending on where you live, who you live with, i.e. noisy children, noisy pets, noisy roommates, noisy neighbors, noisy construction, you've seen it all. And so, and also what your Wi-Fi connection looks like, it could be more or less challenging to remain productive. So this has been a hot topic for us at Google.
Yeah, Rita, I'm sure you have a lot to say about that. I mean, I know this kind of goes along with some of that, the research part of it, and then the power of visioning sessions. How important is it to do some of these pulse checks that it sounds like Google is actively doing, and even, you know, quite ahead when talking about mental health and some of these things? What are the conversations you're having, Rita, and how important do you think it is?
Absolutely. Just like other, organizations are also trying to figure out what is the best solution for themselves and for their employees. We have some companies that are small to medium size who it's really kind of easy for them to come into the office and social distance. So to allow that ability to do so isn't as challenging. But then we have some organizations that are in skyscrapers downtown, and just the trouble of trying to figure out how to get someone in and out of the building to the floor through an elevator is, you know, an absolute struggle. So there's a lot of different spectrums of how do we allow that and allow it safely. I know what Arik hit on too. My husband's back at his office full time, and so I'm at home full time. You know, for there was a couple of weeks where I was full time home alone, and I felt that isolation. So I was hankering to get back in the office and making sure just so I could be around people. I mean, it's amazing what those little nuances, or at least they feel like little nuances, but it's actually a huge change in your day-to-day life and how that mentally impacts you. We are starting to talk to leaders too about, you know, it's almost kind of like they've been going up this uphill hurdle of, you know, trying to get to this point. And like I said, right, we're starting to get to this more consistent point. If they're going up this hill, they've been struggling, but we're kind of getting to the top of the hill. And a lot of leaders are starting to say, oh, but look at all these opportunities we're learning about now that we've allowed our employees to be more remote than maybe we traditionally did. Some of the leaders also just want to catch their breath a little bit too, but it's kind of starting to think about, okay, how is this going to long-term impact our organization and what should we really start thinking about next?
Yeah. I mean, Arik, we use the phrase here, Business Furniture and Choreo, a lot, meeting people where they are. And it sounds like, you know, it's kind of aligned with what some of your messaging. How do you meet people where they are when they're truly in completely different places, where some people are like, get me back to work today. I need to be in the office. I'm losing my marbles. And others are saying, no way, I don't feel safe. I mean, how do you manage both of those?
It's a challenge, to be honest. I think all organizations are struggling with this notion. I think it's first and foremost important to find solutions that work for both our roles and our needs at home. And so one thing that Google has done, which I'm super proud of, is that we've temporarily expanded our existing carers leave policy to support employees who need to take time off to look after their children. And beyond formal policies, managers play such a critical role in ensuring employees feel supported and included. Managers have a unique role in caring for their teams, and we've asked our managers to work with their teams to create flexible work schedules, have regular conversations with employees about how their attention might be divided and which projects should be prioritized. And that's just one way that we're how we're doing to help everyone remain connected. Another thing that I'm really proud of Google for doing, and I recognize that not necessarily every company can afford to do this, but we expect that most Googlers will be largely working from home for the rest of the year and well into 2021. And so something that we've done is we've given each Googler an allowance of $1,000 to expense any necessary equipment and or office furniture to help make their office environment more comfortable, because we know that goes such a long way to their productivity and their well-being.
Yeah, we've seen some of that here locally in Indiana as well, Rita. I mean, I know, kind of helping nurture some of that home office environment. Am I right?
Yeah, from the business furniture and Corio side, from our furniture services, we've been creating Steelcase packages. And I know Steelcase has launched a lot of different tools in order to help enable that package deal to different organizations that could afford to do something similar. We've been seeing it from the business furniture and Corio side, a lot of different organizations leveraging our furniture and Steelcase packages and some of their virtual even kind of purchasing tools in order to create working from home packages similar to what Google's doing. Again, it's something that some of the larger organizations can't afford to do. And kind of thinking about, too, from a larger organization standpoint, there is a lot more risk in asking employees to come into the office and compared to, let's say, a small organization that can be a little more agile with their office space and their schedule. Trying to allow, you know, an alternating schedule by week or by day for a small organization is pretty manageable. But when you start thinking of thousands of employees in one, you know, office building or campus, it's a lot more challenging to try to even go down that path to have employees in the office. So it's this huge spectrum we're seeing, and trying to be mindful about the organizations we're working with, about how risk adverse they need to be.
Arik, what are some of these, let's talk about these people that are working remote. You're going to be home for a while. I know you're, you know, setting them up for their home offices. Are there good best practices that you're kind of coaching folks through that have maybe never worked from home or never worked from home this long? Are there best practices that you think you could share that could other companies could kind of steal some of these? What are the guidelines you're giving?
Yeah, happy to share a few best practices that we've found. And they're not as complicated as folks might think. It's actually quite simple. The first thing I would suggest is to practice empathy. Some people only have a one-bedroom studio and are spending their days there. Some people have spouses who are working from home, kids at home, or dogs at home, I mentioned before. I mentioned also connectivity might be slower and there might be some barking in the background. I think just remembering that everyone is doing their best to make working from home work for them is critical. And another best practice is that we've come to maybe even learn the hard way is that working from home does not mean working all the time. And so one of the hardest things about working from home is setting boundaries. So what we've encouraged employees to do is leave your computer in your workspace and only work when you're in that spot. Pick a time for when you're done for the day by setting work hours in your Google Calendar to remind people when you're available. Take mental breaks the way you would in an office. So instead of walking to a meeting, walk outside, call a friend, grab a snack. Another quick, easy suggestion or best practice is to practice one tab working. If you don't have a large monitor or a usual screen set up at home, it's even more important to focus on that one Chrome tab at a time. And so if you're on a video call from your laptop, minimize all other tabs and focus just on the conversation, just like you would, again, in the office. And then maybe one more best practice. We talk a lot about, again, fostering inclusion. And so to ensure everyone's voices are recognized, use multi-sensory cues to indicate who's speaking, who's listening, Some people formulate and communicate questions better by writing. And so consider an accessible or shared channel or document where participants can type their questions. The act of writing also forces people to be more succinct and clear. So we found that these best practices, although albeit simple, are really easy wins to help folks transition to a remote working environment.
Wow. Similar guidelines, Rita? Yeah.
Yeah, I love what you said there too, because we're working with kind of, let's say 3 months ago, all of the protocols we are working with organizations is about safety, right? But pretty much every organization has got that safety protocol down. And now we're starting to transition towards that virtual communication protocols on what is best. I can't tell you how many conversations, Arik, we've just had in the last few weeks about, I feel like I'm being bombarded between my IMs, my cell phone, my email. It's almost overloading of communication because people don't necessarily know what I'm on. And I think all the tips you put in there were really great. The other thing that we're kind of working into those virtual meeting protocols too is suggesting having one person. We've always had like a meeting leader, right? Someone who usually is the one in charge of the agenda, the one kind of leading the discussion, but starting to implement a leader's like assistant almost. So that way they can kind of help monitor the messaging chat tool. So people who are having a hard time speaking up in meetings, because it's not always easy and it definitely depends on your personality to be able to speak up in those virtual meetings. There's not as easy of those cues as you would in a face-to-face meeting. I know, for example, I would stare at somebody when I want them to, you know, speak up, and now I'm staring at a screen. Nobody knows who I'm trying to mm-hmm. get to participate. So those are some things that we're starting to do, is having kind of like a secondhand leader to help monitor the messaging and help be that person to help interrupt if people are having a lot of questions on it, and kind of monitoring those message boards while a meeting's going on.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. And just things we just never had to think about before, right? I'd love to hear, sometimes it can feel so, what way do I put it? Wah, wah, like negative here, like just like, oh, there's so much trouble. What are some success stories? Have you seen anything that's working better now? Are there ways that we can learn from this COVID crazy that are going to help us create new best practices and maybe even work smarter, work better? Arik, what do you think? Are there some success stories that you've seen that have kind of stretched your mind in new ways?
This might sound a bit silly, Amanda and Rita. Incorporating more fun and finding more creative ways to stay connected, to stay engaged, to build trust. I think we underestimated the importance of that prior to this work from home environment. So, I mean, something as simple as incorporating virtual coffee chats or happy hours. A couple teams I support have tried no meeting Fridays to help employees find more balance. So it's not necessarily just for doing work. It could be taking time for yourselves or for your families, whatever you need to do to rebalance yourself. We've also seen some really fun things, like a couple of teams I support did a virtual flower arranging workshop or a painting class. One of my favorite ways that I've seen fun being injected into our all hands meeting was we did a virtual visit to a farm animal sanctuary, which was dedicated to the care of rescue farm animals. I mean, talking about the smiles and joy this brought to people's faces. We met these adorable goats. And so people are finding creative ways too. Another one I remember is one office hosted a virtual pet parade where employees could share their furry friends and so forth. Lots and lots of music videos. I've never seen so much creativity with employees taking the time to put together these music videos to share, which has been so much fun. So I think the teams that I've noticed adapt the best are the ones where leaders and teams over-communicate. They're demonstrating enormous amounts of empathy and acknowledge the importance of well-being and also fun in the workplace. So again, it may be a bit silly, but I have found it goes such a long way.
Those are awesome.
What are your thoughts on that, Rita?
I'm curious, Ark, does Google have any, what we've been seeing, or some kind of culture committees where they'll set up either book clubs within the organization, or even I've heard video gaming clubs as well. So certain employees who maybe didn't even know that they were, had those similar hobbies. And it really helps with the cross-functional, right? Because I didn't know that
Absolutely.
Jeff from finance or whomever also plays the same Civilization game I did. I'm just saying. But yeah, I'm curious if Google has any of those culture committees set up, but that's one thing we're helping organizations with as well.
I love that. We do have a lot of different formal culture committees set up. We also have employee resource groups dedicated to folks of different backgrounds and so forth. So those are definitely avenues that employees have leveraged to stay connected. Google's also, I've noticed, very grassroots heavy in terms of starting a lot of these clubs and events and ways to stay together. So I mentioned a lot of music videos have been happening. Well, that's a result of people finding common ground and playing instruments or being musically talented. I am not one of those people, but I definitely enjoy watching all of the fun ways that they come together. And it definitely is an important fabric of our culture. So we've seen that a whole lot at Google, and I love that the employees take ownership, and I love that our organization does not at all stand in the way of that. In fact, they highly encourage it. And sometimes they'll incorporate that into bigger all hands at the beginning or at the end of those meetings. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I love it.
The fun part, that's definitely something I think we're all trying to find a way to bring that back in and kind of balance it with the scary and safety and still finding ways to have innovation and collaboration while we're all working in such new ways. Rita, I know we kind of touched on some of the visioning sessions. Did you have any questions to Arik about those topics? I know I feel like, don't you feel like we've got this mind, this Google mind with us? We need to just unpack all of it.
I know. I was just thinking about the visioning sessions we've been holding with organizations. And really, I mean, it's amazing to think about, one of the biggest things we've done, right, for workplace research is using that data, just like Google does. I mean, there's so many similarities of what Business Furniture and Corio, actually the values that we talked about between Google. I know between data and also transparency, I think those are two things, Ark, you mentioned as being something that Google really values. And I'm curious too, kind of from that standpoint of transparency. I think you mentioned to us that Google really puts out any information that they can have in order to help other organizations. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think Google has done a tremendous job of making sure that they are highly visible with their employees. And that's not just Google as an organization, that's its leaders and its managers. And so, and I'm painting a really rosy picture talking about, visits to animal sanctuaries and music videos, but just acknowledging that things are hard right now. And that many employees are feeling overwhelmed and they're feeling anxious. And you hit on it, Rita. Over communication is key. Finding ways to engage your employees virtually, whether it be through all hands or town hall meetings, giving plenty of opportunities for folks to ask questions and ensure that managers and leaders are equipped with the right tools, the right resources, the right talking points to help guide their teams through this perhaps longer than expected transition period. And so to be upfront with employees about what you do or don't know as an organization is absolutely critical. And maybe the final thing I would say is that we've recognized that this period of transition looks different for everyone. And so instead of trying to find a one size fits all approach, we're asking everyone again to practice empathy, again, particularly with our managers and leaders who play such an important role in the culture, with their team members and with our organization.
And I think one thing too, I mean, similar to that transparency is what business furniture and Corio leaders are talking about right now is really looking at where have we really succeeded and where have we also hit some road bumps. I know that was a conversation we've been having very recently about where leaders say, you know, we had had some opportunities and we have succeeded in this wild journey the last 3 to 4 months, but we also know that there's probably some things we could have done better. And that's one thing that I know from our leadership team is what they're working towards. And we're also starting to work with other leadership teams as well about really taking the time to evaluate what has actually happened in the last 4 months. What have we learned from it? And really taking away some action steps from it. So those are some things that we're working with from the leadership team on how to have those, start planning those next steps so we kind of know what we need to do and where we need to make sure, because, you know, some cases and areas are rising. And so trying to be really mindful of, you know, if suddenly we are all back at home, you know, completely for those smaller organizations that may be a little bit in the office, you know, how are we going to adapt this time? Because it may not be a pandemic, but there may be a natural disaster in a few years or something else that's terrible that we also mm-hmm. need to adapt to and make sure we're being really mindful of for business critical needs and trying to learn from this and really take it away. Because realistically, we have not had this happen, at least not in Indianapolis, you know, in the last, I don't really even know if we've had one since the pandemic of 1918.
Yeah.
But it's one of those mm-hmm. things that's like, what can we really learn from this and how can we move forward? And I know a lot of organizations are thinking about who were about to start construction, for example, and saying, wait, let's hold up a second and let's talk to our employees about, you know, there's some really success stories of certain departments or job functions who are working from home really well. You know, what do they see their future as in 1 to 2 years from now of how often they would really come to the office if we can allow that flexibility? And then what does that do for our office space, you know? And really taking the time to look at that and make some smart decisions, even though we're in some really uncertain times.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like if there's anything from this conversation, I feel like we could talk all day, don't you? Because it's like the more we talk, the more you're like, oh gosh, there's just such a complex, but I think really just that empathy and agility right now, that you know, being flexible as people are in different places and trying to meet them where they are and continuing to cultivate culture and knowing that we have a business to run and new ideas are ready for us. So I am just so excited. I like turning it around to feel like the new possibilities, right? During a scary time and kind of pivoting to think towards that. So I can't thank you guys enough for helping us dive into this, especially Arik. Thanks for taking the time and giving us some insight into how Google's handling all of this.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate it being here and having this great conversation.
Yes, and Rita, thank you. It's been great. For all of our listeners, we hope that you'll go on our social media pages, subscribe, give us a like, and follow along. For now, this is the More Than a Chair podcast. Subscribe, give us a like, and follow along. For now, this is the More Than a Chair podcast.
Resilience, the ability to recover from difficult experiences and setbacks. At Business Furniture and Corio, we know the road to resilience takes all of us. Our teams are reconfiguring workspaces to create personal boundaries without compromising design. Our warehouses are open to store your furniture to keep your people safe.
Business Furniture and Corio are on the road to resilience with you. We will meet you where you are, and together we will get results.